Hold on, what happened here?
Should I just keep it recording or start over?
Just keep it recording.
Oh, okay.
All right, and we'll cut the beginning out.
How about we leave it?
Okay. You are now plugged into Action Features.
Hey, that's some fresh new beats.
That's something I was just playing around with, and I thought I'd switch it up for an episode. Why not?
We haven't even opened this yet, this New England Crunch.
What is that? Is it from New England?
That's what, you brought it in. Dried fruit with an almond crunch.
Is it crunchy?
It's got a lot of fruit in it. It's cranberries, cinnamon apples, and honey-roasted almonds.
Hmm.
We're like popping up a bunch here, man. Is this cool?
It's very cool.
Oh, okay.
It's very cool.
It's real cool.
If it's too loud, you're too old.
Deja vu.
Hey.
Well, this is yours, so you need to open
Deja
this.
Who?
This is more appealing to me this time than it was the first time you showed it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cinnamon apples has got me. Hey, everybody, it's another episode of Action Features. In this episode of Action Features, we're going to talk about random things.
Random things.
Random things.
Random things.
There you go.
We have a listener request that we need to cover.
We will get to that.
And then it's just going to be a bunch of pop culture-y craziness. Where do you want to start? You want to
craziness
start with
indeed.
They smell good. You want to start with That's good.
We're not going to get very far.
That's
it's
good.
Snack time.
I'm still attached. Hang
on. I don't know what you were going to say. Do you want to start with what?
You want to start with the request?
No, I say that's the feature. That's the big feature of this one. I guess.
I don't know if it's a big feature for it, but
well, I've got a lot of things planned for it.
Oh, really?
I thought we'd, you know.
Well, you have a whole typed out thing there.
I'm going to detail a little bit, you know.
I didn't know you had a whole typed out thing.
Well, I didn't type it out. I copied and pasted, but, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm grossly unprepared then.
That's okay.
Well, you have a thing.
No, it's a thing that's going to help us both out. It's not.
Okay. All right, so let's cover some things that are going on in the realm of a pop culture world.
Oh, boy.
Let's start off with some bad.
It might seem that I don't have a lot written down anymore.
Hmm.
And that's because I'm trying to keep it kind of positive, you know?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot.
that's slim. Yeah, it's slim pickings when it comes to positive things happening right now.
So anyway, yeah, but we'll talk about some things.
All right, first of all, we had two celebrity death announcements today.
Yeah.
Christopher Lee,
yep.
Famous from Hammer Horror Films and Lord of the Rings trilogy. And
he was in the Avengers TV series.
The Golden Gun.
Not the superheroes, but the
Avengers, yeah.
British.
Count Dooku in Star Wars prequels. Passed away, 93 years old.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to say, like, oh man, that's terrible. That's horrible. I can't believe it. He was 93 years old.
He was 93.
Old.
He had a pretty good run.
And he had a great run. What a great, illustrious career.
So if he's 93, how old was he when he did Star Wars? Like 80?
I think somebody I saw somebody post that when he did Attack of the Clones, he was 79.
Wow.
And he was doing the lightsaber fights.
And he did all those flips and everything?
I don't think he did those.
I'm pretty sure he did. I saw it on video.
But speaking of which, and we'll get back to Christopher Lee, somebody on one of the forums I go to had made a post of something to the effect of, you know, Leia doing lightsaber fights in Force Awakens. Are they going to show her having Jedi training? Will she use a lightsaber? And somebody made a post to the effect of, you know, they did that. I'm not afraid because they did that same thing
oh,
for the Count Dooku. Yeah,
you
for the Count Dooku Yoda
be.
Fight.
Yeah.
You know, where they CGI'd in different heads and CGI bodies and all that. I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
Oh, you will be.
I hate the Dooku Yoda fight.
You will be.
Yep, that's Yoda voice. That's a Yoda.
That's
quote.
That's a quote from
that's
Star
quote.
Wars.
That's a Yoda quote. I don't want that.
No, I'm afraid of that myself.
I don't want that to happen at all.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either. I think if we see her use it at all, it'll be minimal.
I think
just
I
enough
think
to know that
to
she's
be.
Been trained.
It has to be.
Yeah. We didn't see Obi-Wan going crazy with a lightsaber and a New Hope. So I would hope that...
You know what? He really didn't... the way he used it in the bar, that's how Leia could use it.
That's how Leia
can
use it.
Just
take it out.
Comes out.
She got to do with it.
Done.
Put it back away.
Be done.
I want the Jedis to be more like the classic trilogy than they were in the prequels. I think the Jedis are ridiculous in the prequels. All the jumps and the flips and the
super speed.
We were watching a little bit of that Palpatine fight, episode 3, where he spins to begin with. He does this, and does this spin thing in the air, and it looks ridiculous. It looks stupid. It looks really stupid. And so the more I see those kind of things and those fights in the prequels, the less I want to see those things and fights from the prequels. They're silly and they're ridiculous, and I hope that it takes it back more to the lightsaber duels of the classic trilogy, which I think Carrie Fisher could do just fine the way she is right now.
Yeah.
You know, if she did some of the Obi-Wan stuff from A New Hope, those quick movements where it's just the lightsaber's out, lightsaber's put away. You know, a little back and forth if she has to. I don't think she's going to have to, but if she did, I hope it's more in that vein instead of a CGI head on a CGI body or whatever. Yeah. So, back to Christopher Lee. Yeah, so he's 93, or was 93. There's not much you can say about how, you know, oh, I'm so shocked and so sad and so, oh, there's so much left. He gave so much and has done so much. It's like, man, that's a full life. There is nothing to be sad about when it comes to his life and what all he accomplished and what all he did.
Right.
And Matt was saying today that it was great that he came back. Even though maybe we don't like the prequels, or maybe we don't like the Count Dooku character or whatever, it was great that he came back in those, and he was in the Lord of the Rings trilogy because it exposed that actor to a whole new generation that didn't know him from the 70s and the 60s type stuff. And so he became another household name to everybody again, which, you know, I think Peter Cushing could have had the same deal had he lived to that age group. You know, he could have had a resurgence and, you know, been exposed to... funny.
What's the wrong... that's, the wrong sound effect.
That's not...
Sorry.
Really funny.
That was the wrong sound.
Yeah, so it's neat that he's come back for those things, and, you know, condolences to his family, and...
Yeah, it's...
But, man, what a life.
It's sad to lose. Anytime you lose somebody, but yeah, you can...
This isn't one, though, where it's like, oh, I'm shocked, and they could have done so many more things.
Right, yeah, he...
You know, what would they be doing now? He did everything. You know, he really had a great, full life.
He was a fine actor.
Yeah. Not to mention all the things he did outside of acting. You know, he fought the Nazis in World War II. another bad sound
Sorry,
effect.
Sorry, I have a very limited range here with what we can do.
Okay, and so the other death was Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, Man of the Hour, Tower of Power, Too Sweet to Be Sour wrestler. I loved Dusty Rhodes as a kid, and it's a bummer to think that Dusty Rhodes is dead. And he was 69, so that's, again, still a pretty full life, especially for a wrestler.
He was kind of a heavy dude, wasn't he?
He was a heavy dude.
Yeah.
But, man, what a guy. Talk about a wrestler that, you know, the physique didn't matter.
Right.
He was so good on the mic that the physique mattered not at all. You didn't even care that he was a fat guy, you know, a big,
he could talk
large guy.
The talk.
Man, crazy on the mic. A lot of wrestlers talk about how there's a you have to have a good combination of ring skills, physique, and good on the mic. And all Dusty had was good in the ring, great on the mic. Didn't even matter the physique. Those things were so great that the rest didn't matter.
He was a good rapper.
He was the definition of if you're good enough on the mic, the other stuff really, you know, will follow.
He was winning rap battles.
Yeah, he was winning rap battles all the time,
the
Dusty Rhodes was. But yeah, Dusty Rhodes was awesome, and that's a bummer. But for a wrestler, that's a pretty long life.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that's the bummer stuff out of the way. Oh, wait, there's one more bummer thing. There's more Ghostbusters movie reboot casting news. Chris Hemsworth will be playing the receptionist in this. There you go. Now
that one's, did they get it right that time?
That one's right. Who cares about the new Ghostbusters reboot? The only thing I care about it is the fact that I hate it. I'm sorry, but I have no interest in the Ghostbusters being redone to fit current political correctness and empowerment and all these different things. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's You want to do a strong female lead a film about female action adventures? Great. Don't call it Ghostbusters.
Yeah, it's something different. We kind of talked about this today. It's like, not me and you, but I was talking to Matt about it when I was out there, and it's they're alienating the original, probably most of the original fans of those films. They're hoping to get a new, fresh new audience, which sadly they will. There's going to be
definitely
a bunch of 16-year-old girls that go to the theater to see this. There's going to be casual people who saw the movie The original
one. Oh, I love Ghostbusters. I saw that when I was a kid.
I remember seeing that. I loved it.
I remember seeing that. I love that movie. I'm a huge Ghostbusters fan. I saw that movie when I was a kid.
And they saw it one time.
Yeah, they saw it one time.
And they're going to go see it.
You ask them to say all four Ghostbusters' full names, and they probably go, Peter, Dan Aykroyd,
I'd be lucky to get that far.
The smart guy, and the African-American guy.
If, So, it's just a money-making ploy.
Totally. That's all
it is. And the sad thing is, I think it's probably going to be funny. Like, it will be...
It'll be like Bridesmaids.
Funny, because
Bridesmaids... If you thought that was funny, yeah, you'll think this is funny.
Right, Bridesmaids was funny. I actually love the cast. I love Kristen Wiig and Melissa McCarthy are both,
very
hilarious
funny.
To me. But any enjoyment that I would have gotten out of it, or any laugh that I would get, is basically canceled out by the fact that you're taking something that... I think this stemmed from... Originally, they wanted a third Ghostbusters movie with the original cast.
Mm-hmm.
That was what this came from. They couldn't do that. Then it was going to be new recruits. And people were like, And then they couldn't do that because they couldn't get the original... I mean, Bill Murray couldn't get... It
He's
wasn't in it.
Out.
And there was...
And then Harold Ramis passed on.
Right. And there's just all these things. And so by this time, it's gotten to where it's like... Well, people want another Ghostbusters movie. So instead of just saying, sorry, that didn't work out, you know, we've got to move on from this. We'll, you know, something else. We'll do something else. They said, well, what if we just go ahead and... I will say that I'm glad they didn't try and recast all of the male leads.
Oh, I agree with that.
But this is... It just seems stupid to me. And even dumber is Chris Hemsworth...
As the receptionist.
I don't mind Chris Hemsworth, but I'll tell you my biggest problem with the decision is that it's boring.
Oh, it's totally boring.
It's boring.
And it's done just as a... It feels like it's done just as as much of a flip as you can do. Just like we flipped all four Ghostbusters genders.
Completely flip
Let's take the receptionist, who's a mousy little nerdy receptionist girl, and make it a big buff dude instead. You know, and it's just like, you're just trying now to almost like anger people because you like the controversy. You like people talking about it because it's free publicity for you in your movie. So if you get all the old school Ghostbusters fans riled up and talking about this film, then all the other people that don't really like Ghostbusters that much or are casual moviegoers or, you know, or young in that generation that wasn't exposed to Ghostbusters, they just keep hearing people talking about a new Ghostbusters film.
Yeah.
You're getting free publicity. So you're going to keep doing these... kind of talk about these controversial things to get people talking and get people riled up just so you can bite off that too.
Right.
So you're going to bite off the Ghostbusters name and you're going to bite off the controversy. Why not just make a movie that can stand on its own of an original idea, even if it's not so original where it's just paranormal investigator girls.
Yeah.
But no, we're going to alienate all the old fans and anger them.
I guess that's what keeps bothering me now is just that I know they're making original movies, but they're not doing good ones. So I think that companies feel like, well, there's risk. If we're going to make an original one, there's risk. If we use a name that's already established, then we're guaranteed, you know, to at least break even, if not make
even if
money.
We distance ourselves so far from that name that we have no business using that name. That's where I have a problem with it, is where you take something that we loved and that was a huge success and that has a place for us, you know, in our hearts and our memories and our love for it, and you're just taking that just for a name.
Right.
You don't care about the property, and you don't care if it's nothing like it. You just need that name. And it's proven now that their original ideas aren't that great, and they are failing. Like Jupiter Ascending Tomorrowland, both bombs.
Yeah.
So in some ways, I see that they're thinking, that original movies won't succeed. It's got to be based on something else. We have to have name recognition now.
Yeah.
And that's sad, because we're going to lose all that great stuff that we – all those things when they were new ideas – were new ideas.
Right.
They weren't biting off something else. It was a new idea.
Yeah.
But
the name and the property itself is not everything. It's the ideas. We need to be encouraging, you know, strong original ideas instead of just what do we already know? What can we resell people that we know that they like already?
Exactly.
It's dull.
It's sad because this film could be something.
Right.
That is a sort of an, even though you're biting off of a paranormal investigator thing, it could still be something new. You called it something different, and it became a huge hit. These girl characters could become something.
Yeah,
there could be an animated series based on them and their idea, and this and that, and carry it forward and forward and forward. just like Ghostbusters right. when it became what it was.
Except,
but instead, you're going to bite off something else, yeah. and it's just Ghostbusters again, but it's Ghostbusters completely different.
So instead of... It's actually counterproductive to, I think, what some of these people are trying to achieve with mm-hmm. this. Because you're not establishing... You're not giving these women characters that establish themselves as like, wow, this is a character that had impact on my childhood. You're establishing as like, even if it gets some laughs or whatever, there will always be the knowledge now of, well, this was a remake, or this was, you know, they're just remaking this.
It's always going to be compared to the original then.
Right. It's just a rehash of something and it's counterproductive.
If you're redoing something that was good to begin with, you're always going to be compared to that first thing.
Right.
The best you can hope for, especially with something like Ghostbusters, is second best. So,
yeah.
Why do that? Why not just do something on its own where you don't have anything else to compare it to, where you can just look at it and go, that was great, that was funny, that was cool, I like this idea, I like this franchise if it becomes a franchise. But no, you can't do anything original, you've right. got to just take off something else.
Back to Chris Hemsworth. Part of the problem, too, that I have is... And I don't know, because I'm only comparing with the Janine Melnitz that I know. But mm-hmm. what made that character work was she was sort of cute, but she was quirky and weird and different and kind of nerdy, but she was still cute
mm-hmm.
under there. And so it gave this interesting dynamic that Annie Potts could pull off. Chris Hemsworth, I'm not saying he was a good Thor. He's good as Thor.
Yeah, he's great as Thor.
I don't have a problem with him as an actor per se. But he's such the vanilla handsome of today. He's like, he's too pretty almost. Really well built, you know, he gets paid to go to the gym for
yeah.
8 hours a day or whatever he does. I'm just saying it's boring to have somebody like that because you don't take somebody like that and try to turn them into a nerd. But what are you going to do? Oh, he put glasses and a bow tie
It'll
on
It'll look
him
stupid.
And, yeah.
It'll look ridiculous if that's where they're going.
Yeah,
who knows where they're going
right,
with him?
Right, however they do it. But it's like, it's unbelievable to me. And they might go the total opposite direction with him. I
yeah.
don't know what they're trying to do. But just as of now, as that character, that's what made that character work. And he's not playing Janine, of course.
No.
I don't know. I don't know. Who knows what they're...
Who knows
they're
where
saying.
It's going?
I imagine there's going to be
I
a lot of...
I have little interest.
I think there's going to be a lot of jokes about how good-looking he
oh,
is.
Oh, no doubt.
And the girls will be, you know, talking about how good-looking he is and, oh, could you pick up this folder and let me watch you
watch
pick
your
it up. See your butt.
Watch your butt in
your buttocks.
In the tight pants.
Did you... he was on SNL a few weeks back and pretty much every skit was just about him being...
Oh, of course.
...attractive.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, it's not funny anymore. You just like do one skit like that, it's fine.
Well, this whole movie feels like it's going to be a Saturday Night Live skit.
Yeah.
That's basically what it's going to be.
Well, the cast is all there. What else you got?
This kind of stems off of that, but earlier today I said to you, I kind of wish that the new Star Wars film was called The Last Hope.
The Last Hope.
Just like Star Wars with A New Hope, this is The Last Hope. For me, personally,
yeah.
this is pretty much my last hope for going to movies and at the theater and enjoying them anymore.
No. There is another.
I don't know if there is.
That's from Star Wars.
I'm not saying that the Marvel films are bad. I have enjoyed the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
But I haven't made it to the theater to see one since Iron Man 3. And I don't foresee myself going to the theater to see them anymore. Just because, we've talked about this before on the show.
Sure.
I'm in the midst of superhero burnout.
Yeah, it's
for
so
films.
Kind of over.
It's kind of way too much now.
Whoa.
Sure, I'll catch them on DVD when I can, and I'll enjoy them, but I don't have the drive to get to a theater and have that experience and enjoy it and, you know, look forward to the release date and buy the popcorn and, you know, plan out when we're going to go see it. That kind of died out. I got so disappointed by Iron Man 3, and then it was just a glut of superhero films that I can't get excited anymore.
Yeah.
And then there's all these reboots and remakes that I have zero excitement for. And there's the original films that we just talked about that just don't look very good. So the last hope for me really is to have a great movie theater experience again is this next Star Wars film.
Yep.
And if this doesn't work out, I can't imagine myself getting, the way things are going now,
yeah.
getting excited to go to the movies anymore.
Yeah, it's hard.
I really can't.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. It's Star Wars Episode 7, The Last Hope.
The Hope Awakens.
Speaking of Force Awakens, though, they debuted some toys today.
some stormtrooper stuff.
Yeah, they just showed some stormtrooper stuff, but we're now on the edge, man.
Yeah,
where stuff's going to start to build.
I'm kind of glad that they're holding back. I mean, they're trying to give a little, but we've all seen the stormtrooper design. We know what it looks like. So I'm glad that they haven't fully just gone out and showed everything yet.
I'm sure we will at San Diego Con see a lot of stuff.
San Diego Comic Con.
They have to start showing some things just to get the ball rolling for, you know, hype.
Yeah, when do the toys come out? September?
September 4th, I think it is.
Wow, that's a few months before the movie.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that, but I guess they're banking on Christmas shopping leading up to it.
Yeah.
Plus, there's nothing on the shelves.
That's true.
They can't be barren for forever. I don't know why there wasn't some kind of wave or two in between to keep that shelf space current and alive up until...
I love the work that Hasbro is doing as far as the product, but something's up with the management.
The distribution
of,
is
the
terrible.
Distribution
it's just terrible.
Management of the toy lines.
It's really
speaking
rough.
Of which, Jurassic World. Some of you may have been to the toy stores, and I wasn't going to talk about this, I guess, but here's a line. You had three movies before, and they had a toy line with action figures of the humans, and you had dinosaurs, and you had the humans and the dinosaurs, and they can sort of go back and forth. So Hasbro, this is gonna probably boring for people. I don't care.
Oh, it's not boring. This is what the show is about,
Hasbro,
man.
Hasbro said initially they announced we're doing Jurassic World toys, and then eventually when they said that, I said it would be awesome if they did that 2.5-inch scale that they did Guardians of the Galaxy in.
It's perfect for the dinosaurs.
Have two packs just like the Guardians of the Galaxy. You have a figure and a dinosaur. You still be $5, and you get your whole. I would have bought those whether I liked the movie or not. I would have had them. So anyway, make a long story short. Now you go to the store. It's just a bunch of dinosaurs. You can't get any humans except for, I think I've seen two soldier guys who are whoever you don't care about.
I've never seen Chris Pratt.
I haven't seen his figure. They come with you have to buy a $25 giant dinosaur to get those figures. I know that people like dinosaurs, but there have been Jurassic Park toys on the shelves. They redid the Jurassic Park 3 toys, I don't know how many times, two or three times, got re-releases. Then they tried to do that ill-fated G.I. Joe Jurassic Park mashup where they had 25th anniversary bodies in some packs, but then also released the Jurassic Park 3 figures, which had totally different articulation and other packs for like same price as they were back then. It just didn't make sense. So anyway, No human figures, just dinosaurs, and they just blend in. They just look like the stuff It's
powers only.
It's bad guys only. It looks like the stuff that's been on the shelf for the last 5 years. So who's I don't know if it's just around here, but every store I've been to, they don't know what to do with the Jurassic Park stuff. There's like a line of vehicles, like a Hummer or whatever they have, that's not in scale with the other stuff that they put out, and then they have a line of Hot Wheels that aren't in scale with those. And it's kind of all over the board. I don't know why this is so difficult. People see these movies and live these adventures through the eyes of the humans.
Well, there's a reason for every other film why there's been a huge human line to go along with the dinosaurs, and that's because if it's just dinosaurs, it's no different than going to that plastic animal aisle where they have like plastic dinosaurs they're just dinosaurs.
Why not get the Animal Planet stuff?
Why not?
It's cheaper and it looks
just a
as
dinosaur.
Good. Yeah.
Without the humans to differentiate it and give it a branding, it's just dinosaurs.
Not to mention, all we've seen pretty much as a lead-up to this is Chris Pratt
looking
cool.
That's what I was going to say.
Chris Pratt on his motorcycle, Chris Pratt with the Raptors.
So what human can you not find?
Chris Pratt with the rifle.
Chris Pratt.
So the main character of your film that you've been pushing for months and months and months that I see a new picture of or footage every week, you didn't tie into the toy line?
No. Here's the thing. Hasbro has these. They have to have these molds because they've reused these molds a bunch of times.
Yeah.
So your dinosaurs are done. Those are perfect sculpts. All the way back to the first Jurassic Park line, their dinosaur sculpts are great.
Yeah,
they're great. So you've got those done. That's the hard work done.
Right.
All you have, really, in the trailers, it's not like the first Jurassic Park, where there was Alan Grant and Ian Malcolm and Ellie Sattler.
Yeah, a lot of strong characters.
You know,
yeah.
Even just in the trailers, you can see there's three really strong characters right off the bat. And then you also have, you know, like Muldoon and all these other characters that are kind of background.
Yeah.
Action-type guys. Really, for Jurassic World, the only action guy and or action character I'm seeing is him.
Right.
You could kind of say that the doctor girl, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, maybe,
yeah.
But everything I've seen in her in the trailer is her in a lab coat and standing in front of a mirror or in front of a window or something.
There's a part where she looks like she's been through something.
Maybe,
but,
yeah.
You know, give me an action figure that,
that's
too.
That's fine. But all you have to do is create a couple of Chris Pratts. That's it.
Which they had for Guardians of the Galaxy. And
you could do. Or if you wanted to do the same scale as the old Jurassic Parks, that's fine, too.
Yeah, do that, too.
Do that, too, and use those old dinosaurs. It's a no-brainer. It's an easy equation.
The thing is,
people aren't going to look at the... If you do a five... You're doing 5 points. Hasbro's doing 5 points
right.
For Star Wars and for Marvel.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like if you put out a 5 points Chris Pratt figure that's like the old Jurassic Parks,
right.
Same scale, people are going to look at that and go, what a step back. You're doing everything 5 points now.
Right.
Release all those old dinosaurs. People would love if a Chris Pratt was in the same scale as those old Jurassic Park toys. You'd have a lot of people
yeah.
that still have those old Jurassic Park toys that think that is cool.
Yeah.
Because they haven't gone back to that since Lost World.
On top
you know?
Of that, you know, they made several different dinosaurs in a few different scales to go in with, like, smaller pack-ins and stuff like that. You don't really know the full scale. I mean, you can,
no.
you can kind of fudge it. You can
fudge
do
it all over the place.
Three and a, put fudge all over the place with a 3 3/4 inch figure.
Just rub peanut butter fudge on everything.
Ah. So anyway, Hasbro, love your product. Don't understand what you're doing.
You make a lot of mess ups.
I don't understand the thinking behind this. My mom said on the last podcast I mentioned I didn't know if she was still listening.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get a phone call, and she said, it rings, and I said, hello? Yes, I'm still listening. I want you to say on the podcast that I'm listening because I don't want anybody to think that I stopped.
That's awesome.
I said, okay, Mom. So, so anyway, my mother is still listening to
I
the
never
podcast.
Doubted it.
I don't know what we've got to say that she would be interested
I never
in.
Doubted it.
You never doubted
it. I never doubted it for a second. I know your mom.
I know you wouldn't doubt.
She wouldn't abandon me. My number one fan.
She is your number one
Come
fan.
On.
She wrote you that letter.
Come on.
This looks pretty good.
This is really good stuff, man.
What is this, apples?
That New England Crunch? Yeah, they're cinnamon apples, it says.
Roasted almonds and cinnamon apples.
Well, you're going to go digging in that. I want to alert people to a funny video. Hmm. Some people may have seen it already.
That's pretty good.
But on YouTube, if you go look up Darth Vader with child Anakin voice, it's very funny. I don't know if you didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it.
Somebody took Jake Lloyd Anakin lines from Episode 1 and dubbed them over Darth Vader in Star Wars A New Hope, and they made this like little story, and it's hilarious.
Jake who?
Jake Lloyd, Anakin in Episode 1.
Who's that?
The kid, little kid Anakin in Episode 1.
Hmm. With Luke?
It's like a fan film.
Okay.
But it's very, very funny. It is very funny to hear him saying things like, I'm a pilot, you know, to anybody that'll listen in this little video this guy made. It's very, very funny. So look that up.
I'll look it up.
Another Pizza Hut tidbit for you, too.
Mm.
A new product.
Oh, I saw
Hut.
That box, by the way.
It's cool, isn't
it's
it?
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. You know what's funny? We talked about it on the show.
I'm still worried about grease on the phone, but...
Don't worry about the grease on the phone.
I'm worried.
We talked about it on the show, because it was just a little thing I found, you know, on some site or something. We talked about it on the show, and I noticed, like, last week, or not even last week, in the last couple days, it's blown up. Like, it's everywhere. It's trending on Facebook and trending on Twitter. We were ahead of the game on that one, buddy.
We have more listeners than we think. People are stealing
ideas. We talked
about
that 2 weeks ago. Now people are just now catching on. Here's another thing that Pizza Hut's doing. They're going to introduce a hot dog stuffed crust pizza.
I saw that.
A hot dog in the crust.
Not really interested
What's
in that.
What's going on?
I never wanted a hot dog
What's
in the
happening?
Crust. I never wanted a hot dog in my crust.
You know what? See what else you can get in that crust. See what else you can fit right in there.
Do we have any leftover meat parts that we could like shove into a part of the pizza?
Look, we put cheese in there. What else can we fit in there?
Uh-huh. Look, we got pepperonis and sausages stacked on top of this thing already.
There's got to be a place we can find
it's
something
all around
else.
The middle. This meat is all around the middle of this pizza. It's on top of the cheese. I don't know what to do. Where can we... Wait a minute.
What if we put cookies in there? What if we had a cookie crust?
We put cookies in there.
What if we put cookies
Chocolate
in there?
Chips.
Mm-hmm. What if we put a lasagna, a ring lasagna, inside the pizza crust?
Mm.
They're going to put anything in there now. I don't want to eat hot dogs and pizza. I don't. I'm going to eat it. I can tell you right now, I don't want to, but I'm going to eat it.
That seems like a little too much.
I'm going to find out.
I don't want hot dogs and pizza. Those are two different things to me. Yeah. I'll have a hot dog by a fire.
I'm not going to have a stuffed crust pizza with beans in it. Like, I'm not going to have a bean stuffed
crust. No, you're not
going
to put baked
That's
beans.
Two different meals.
You're not put baked beans in there.
I'm not going to have macaroni salad inside my pizza crust ring. Two different meals.
You won't have refried beans in there.
I don't want to. But I tell you what, if they do it, I'm going to try it.
You will try it.
I'm going to try the hot dog stuffed crust pizza.
You're a sucker for new quirky foods.
I have to try it.
You have to at least try it.
But
you know what you're going to say? You know, it was pretty good.
I'm going to say it was pretty good.
I know you will.
I never would have thought about that, but it was pretty good.
But you won't want to eat it.
No, I don't want to. I can tell you right now, I don't want to. But I'm going to.
It actually makes me feel a little bit sick to think
about it. The more you think about it, a hot dog like swirled around in there.
I'm trying to eat as much pizza as I can have.
Yeah.
When I buy pizza, I want to have as many pieces. I want to fill up on pizza. That's what I want. Four slices, maybe? Off a large?
Maybe.
Maybe five.
Maybe
I've done
half
five.
Maybe half a pizza? Who knows?
Hey, who knows? I don't want the responsibility of now having to eat seven hot dogs.
That's the thing, man. Here's my problem. You know how I eat pizza.
I know how you do.
I eat crust first.
You do it backwards.
I do the crust first. I don't care if it's stuffed crust. I don't care if it's regular crust, Parmesan crust, whatever it is.
Back it on up.
I'm going to eat the crust first. I'm going to get it over with.
Boop.
Even though I love stuffed crust, and sometimes I like the stuffed crust better than I actually like the pizza itself.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat the crust first. I'm going to get full if I'm eating a hot dog. Like, I'm eating a hot dog first in a bun.
Yeah.
And then I got to finish off the best part of the pizza.
I'll tell you what. You're going to cut your intake by half on your pizza slices.
I don't want to do that because I want to eat the pizza. That's what I'm here for.
That's why you got pizza.
That's why I showed up.
You didn't go to a ballpark.
I showed up for pizza. I didn't show up at Gold Star.
You didn't go to Gold Star Chili.
And say, I would like a little bit of pizza on my hot dogs. I didn't go there for that.
You didn't do that.
I went to the pizza place. I wanted a pizza.
When you go to Taco Bell and they have the Taco Bell Pizza Hut combo,
yeah, yeah.
You get one or the other usually.
I almost always get Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's
I can't remember the last time I ordered a pizza
that's
for myself
fine.
At Taco Bell.
I'll tell you about a personal pan pizza, though.
Mm-hmm.
They fit all the flavor of a full-size pizza into one of those personal pans.
It's pretty crazy.
It's pretty awesome.
They just added, because before all they had was cheese and pepperoni. Yeah. They've added the meat lovers.
That's crazy.
Now it's on there, too.
But when you go there, you're not going to get a pizza and breadsticks.
Hey, and a burrito.
Why don't you give me a burrito?
Why don't you go ahead and put a quesadilla on top of
quesadilla.
It? Why don't you put it on the bottom?
We just
created something for Taco Bell just now.
Put a slap a chalupa on top of it. Open that sucker up and slap it down on top.
Why not?
Put beans on top of your
pizza.
Why not
do that? Why not hide it in the nachos bel grande? Just like stick a pizza under some of those nachos. I'll be eating my nachos. Oh, here's a pizza in here.
Hide one in there.
There it is. It's just hidden inside there. Just, all of a sudden, you move aside some of the beans, the sour cream.
And there it is at the bottom.
There it is, completely uncovered by other toppings.
A pizza waiting for you. It's a
treasure.
It's a little bit disgusting, actually. The way that people are, it's like...
It's pretty gross.
Just throw everything.
It's no wonder that we're the most like obese nation there is.
Right.
Because we just keep on figuring out more ways to eat more food.
Where can we fit mayonnaise?
Look, people are having big meals.
Can we put more mayonnaise in there? Did you see that Miracle Whip commercial?
I don't want to think about fitting more mayonnaise
years back,
in something.
They were talking. They had a. I think it was a few years old now, but I probably mentioned this. Like, all these kids show up at the beach and they got their surfboards.
You
and
have mentioned this, but go ahead.
And they're playing volleyball, and they're kicking around, and girls wearing bikinis, and the guys are all cut up and stuff, and they're like, hey, man, did you bring the zip? You know I don't skip the zip? Bam! Miracle Whip!
On the beach!
Yeah,
it's all warm and sunny.
Yeah, gross!
They're just getting spoons out.
They're getting sand.
Yeah, man, dip the whip!
Getting sand all in it and stuff.
That's gross.
It's like...
Just getting handfuls of it.
Oh, come on, Miracle Whip. Come on, Kraft. You guys,
a day at the beach with Miracle Whip. That's horrible.
Seemed a little desperate to me.
You're getting that weird, like, congealed layer up top where it's kind of separating.
The oil separates. Now, I like the condiment on a BLT or something, but you didn't forget the zip, did you? Hey, you know I don't skip the zip.
Yeah, I brought the zip.
Hey, hey, dude. Hang 10, bro. You know I don't skip the zip.
I did. He's scared. What do you have to do?
Hey, Zane. You want to come out into the water, man? Hey, surf's up, dude.
I'm busy watching the zip.
Actually,
somebody's got to guard the zip.
Actually, man, you know, I just ate like a pound of this Miracle Whip.
I just whipped the zip, man.
I gotta tell you, I'm not feeling so good.
I'm not going to hang 10 today.
I'm going to have to set up this beach volleyball tournament. I got to tell you, I don't think all this activity is too good on my stomach right now. I just loaded it up with 100% fat. This product is made with oil.
Guys, you completely buried me in the sand, and the zip's trying to get into my stomach a little bit. I can't move.
Help. Hey, can somebody dig me out?
Can somebody just give me one hand free, please?
All right, yeah, what do we got here? We got some potato salad, and somebody brought some hot dogs. Hey, did you bring the mustard? Man, I thought you wanted me to bring Miracle Whip. What? You mean we brought all this beach food, and the only thing you brought was Miracle Whip? There's nothing that I can
put. Man, it is a hot one out today. What you got in the cooler? Any Gatorade, Powerade, water?
A few bottles of Miracle Whip.
Oh, my God. I'm fully stocked on the whip.
What?
That's rough.
All right, dude. High five.
We probably did this exact same conversation.
High fives on the whip. That's been a while. Yeah. We've got all new listeners now since everybody else dropped off.
Except your mom. She's heard this conversation twice.
Yeah, she's good for her.
Okay. So I think that is it that I have written down.
Yeah, I have one more thing that's just a silly thing. From the Atlantic. It was an article, and this Yahoo, I told you about it, says the article is about Batman Begins and its legacy. So, excuse me, the first...
snuck out.
I had too much Miracle
Too much
whip. I didn't click on this article, but you could see like a preview of it. And the first sentence is, 10 years ago, that I quote, I'm not paraphrasing, I wrote this down. 10 years ago, the idea of Batman actually scaring people was far-fetched. Ba-ba-ba, that's the setup. Are you retarded, man?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, they're just letting anybody write an article.
It's
anybody that wants to write an article can write an article. You didn't even bother to, like...
You don't have to have any knowledge on the subject. You just come up with, what if we talk about Batman Begins back
then? You know
what?
I love Batman Begins. How old are you?
I'm a huge Batman fan.
Are you 16?
I remember when that changed everything. What?
Let some 16-year-old kid write an article or something? I don't understand. In 1989,
yeah,
Batman was somebody to be feared. It wasn't far-fetched. That was
before 89, in the public eye, it was far-fetched. Because everybody thought of Adam West.
Because of Adam West.
That was a different time.
Not because of him.
And so that was why 89 was kind of a risk, and why it was a game-changer, and why it kind of completely changed everyone's idea of the character.
Right.
Everyone's idea. And people just glommed onto it, like, wow, it's dark Batman. And so then, you know, the comics had already taken more of a dark turn. But everybody started noticing that more in the comics, so that people weren't there. And then we had Batman Returns that kept the dark going, and the Batman the Animated Series. And Batman switched from being the campy character in the public eye to the dark character.
Right.
And when you told me about this article, I said to you, that's why Batman and Robin was a failure.
Right.
Is because they tried to do the funny, campy, slapsticky Batman, and everybody liked dark Batman.
Right.
You can't do that when everybody likes dark Batman, and they've now become accustomed to dark Batman. They tried to do that, and it was a failure.
Yeah.
So to say that when Batman Begins came out, oh, he made it dark. No! Or Batman and Robin would have been a success if that was true.
Yeah, that movie is not a game changer. That movie simply is a reboot or a resetting of something that had already been done and established. Batman, 1989... What Tim Burton did for those first two films reset the entire superhero landscape for film. Those movies, you know how we feel about those movies here. We love them, but I don't understand.
It's not possible to express to anyone the changes that those movies created.
Right.
You know, unless you were there.
Yeah. It's ridiculous to see that people are, you know, just writing articles like this for people to see that where it's just so, just such a blatant disregard. For where not giving credit where credit is due.
Totally.
So that's silly. And I've never read the first issue of Batman, but he was to be feared.
He was dark to begin with.
That was so. There's sort of an ebb and flow with the character and how he's treated. But yeah, it didn't start with Batman Begins.
No.
It was not. It's not a far fetched idea.
Not at all.
It was a longed for idea, I think, and that's why that movie did well. Actually, is because people were like,
because they wanted after Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, people wanted the Batman on the screen to be back to the Batman now that they were accustomed to.
Right.
That they got for Batman and Batman Returns, that they got from Batman the Animated Series, that they were getting in comics, that they were getting in, you know, all incarnations in any kind of media or merchandise that you would buy. It was dark Batman. It wasn't cheesy, happy-go-lucky Batman.
Yeah.
They just wanted to get back to that. So there was, it didn't change anything. It just brought it back to what it was established in those first two films.
Right.
It's so silly, but anybody, everybody takes any chance they can to discount those films in you know, today's, you know, online communities and, you know, these articles and things. Yeah. They try their best. Keaton was even saying, you know, that Burton doesn't get enough credit. He really doesn't, you know, for what he did in those films. And so now when some, you know, 13-year-old gets online and they read that article, they go, oh, yeah, Batman Begins is what made it dark. That's what made it dark.
Yeah.
Some idiot that doesn't know any better is going to read your stupid article, and they're going to assume that you know something because you're able to write online.
I didn't want
to
give him the click.
I hope you didn't give him the click.
I didn't click on it. I just walked away.
Whoever that guy is, I hope you listen to the show because you are an idiot.
You're dumb.
You're dumb, and I don't want you to listen to the show anymore. I don't want you to lose you as a listener if you're a listener. I highly doubt you are because you're too stupid to listen to our show.
That's right. Only smart people listen to this show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid dummies. All right.
So that's silly. Yeah, man. So now we're going to talk about, we had a request from Dustin Wood.
Who is our, you know, Blaze is our number one.
He's got the number one spot.
Dustin, I told him he's like our PR guy.
He's the man on the streets.
He is the man that is doing his best as just one guy to spread the word on this show and on any kind of endeavors that we have. He's really, you know, excited about it and gets out there and says things and talks about the show and gets his friends to listen to the show. It's just amazing, man, that one guy likes it that much that he's willing to do those things. It's really cool, man. It's just like...
It's heartwarming.
It's really awesome. I mean, he's a really cool dude. And so he had posted on the Facebook page that he would like us to talk about our thoughts about the Kenner Robin Hood Prince of Thieves line. Now Dustin is a big archery fan. Like, he loves the show Arrow. I'm willing to give the show Arrow more of a chance because he likes it so much. And he loves Robin Hood.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know if he's partaking in any archery?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, good.
I've seen it on Facebook before. A lot of times he's talking about how, you know, he's like, man, I need to get some arrows. I need to get out and do this again.
Good.
Yeah, the show, I feel like the show kind of, at least that's what I got from the Facebook posts.
Yeah.
Is that the show kind of inspired that in him, that he really wanted to get an archery and do these things because of that
show.
It's
a lot harder than it looks.
Yeah, it seems like it is.
We have a group of young boys at my church, and we take them out, we try and do manly things with them and stuff, and we did archery one week, and it was like, it was pretty tough to sight your arrow and everything. But it was fun. I think
doing little things at like, you know, Renaissance fairs where you can try things out. It takes a lot of, like, you know, arm strength and, like, steadiness and all the to get it to go. You think that you can just pull one up, I can hit exactly
right. Yeah, they show it on the movie.
No,
yeah.
It's not like that. It takes a lot of skill to do it. And so that's really cool that he's been inspired to try something and do something.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
But, yeah, I think his love of archery and everything and his love of toys inspired him to have us talk about this.
Man.
I loved this line.
I love this line, too.
I love this movie. I loved this line.
I never thought we'd get this request, honestly.
I didn't either.
But I'm more than happy to talk about this line.
I remember at the time of this line happening, I was really excited about the movie, the Robin Hood movie coming, but there was also a Robin Hood TV show that was like happening around the same time.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
And I remember thinking, I don't know if it was a dream or what, but I remember thinking about going into a store and finding Robin Hood toys and then being from the show.
Yeah.
And thinking, man, I wish they were doing figures from the movie. And being kind of confused when I did find figures from the movie and thinking about, wait, were they doing figures for the show too? Or am I dreaming or what? I remember being kind of confused when I did see the figures and got a hold of them. But being super excited by how Kenner was doing those figures.
Yeah.
I really liked the cloth pieces that were like added onto the figures. It reminded me a lot of, even though, you know, we know that they are reused superpowers molds, but it reminded me of that thing where you would get a cloth cape on a figure.
Yeah.
Seeing those cloth elements on there, it just was a really neat, it made it feel, I hate to say, like, compared to, like, 12-inch figures, but that's kind of like the vibe, where it had, like, a real cloth outfit.
Well, especially,
applied
the longbow Robin had that.
That chest
that
thing.
Tunic.
Like the vest,
I guess it's a tunic.
Tunic, whatever you want to call it. Same with Will Scarlet. He had kind of that fabric jacket.
Yeah.
And the Friar Tuck had the cloth outfit on.
The line was not successful. I don't even remember knowing about the film when I saw the toys. I love Robin Hood as a kid, just the idea of it, you know, the myth of Robin Hood in general and longbows and being in the woods and sword fights and all that stuff. And I walked into a toy store and there was a big end cap where they had all the new figures. And I was like, what is this? Robin Hood. Yes. And I was taken in by the red card border on the card
back. It's classic Kenner style on those card backs.
It totally is.
It really is neat.
And it's just scaled up. I mean, they're 5-inch figures, I think, or four,
well,
they're four.
I mean, they reused
both
Superpowers and Star Wars molds, so it's a kind of a right in between Star Wars size and Superpowers. It kind of varies between them both.
And I think, I'm sure that was seen as a cheap move, but I love it for that.
I do too.
I love that they repurposed all those things that Kenner said, not too sure about. That movie was a big deal when it came out, but they probably were like,
yeah, they probably didn't know.
I don't think
for
we
sure
can do like a whole line on
if
this.
If kids would get into it.
Right.
You know, because, you know, you watch the film, and even as, you know, I don't remember, what was it, 1991 that came out? 91?
Somewhere around there.
I was probably 12 or 13 when the movie hit. And it was like kind of my age group that felt that movie was targeted more toward, you know, as being not geared towards anything younger than me, really. It kind of felt like...
Definitely not younger.
Yeah. It kind of felt like that was the age range. And at that point, that's not really a target audience for a toy maker, for an action figure collector. They really want a younger age group to be buying toys.
Right.
So, yeah, in some ways, this may have been kind of a risk for Kenner.
Right.
So, kind of keeping the cost down by reusing a lot of those molds was a smart move.
I love that somebody... or a team of somebody, whoever was working at Kenner at the time, said, how can we do this and make it cost effective, and was able to dig back through all the lines that they'd done prior and find enough pieces to give you a full line. I mean, you got two Robins, Friar Tuck, Sheriff of Nottingham, a warrior, medieval warrior guy.
Little John,
Azim, Will Scarlet. Am I leaving anybody out?
You said Friar Tuck?
I did.
I think you said them all.
Little John, Will Scarlet. Yeah, and a bunch of a playset and vehicles and...
It's crazy. Well, they'd already... I think they kind of cut their teeth on this with the Dark Knight collection.
Yeah.
In that they repurposed Superpowers stuff to do that line.
Yeah.
And maybe that's kind of the grandfather of this to say, we did so good with that. You know, we cut so many costs by reusing a lot of the older stuff for that. Let's carry that forward to this. You know, it got the stuff out. For Dark Knight Collection, it got that stuff out fast. When they got that license, they got that stuff out pretty fast after getting that license because they were able to reuse so much stuff. Same deal here. They probably got the license and were like, same model, let's just do it.
Yeah, turn it around.
And, man, you're right. You got a great playset. That indoor forest is great.
Yeah.
It's still a great playset. If they release that now, people will be buying that thing up.
Yeah.
So where's Robin Hood live? In the forest?
It was in the forest.
We've got an old indoor.
Have you seen the movie?
Forest.
They have tree houses in there.
Let's just add some leaves along to the top of it.
Which was a great addition, by the way. I actually prefer that to the Ewok Village playset.
Yeah, they're not just dead trees.
The Robin Hood.
They actually have some life still on them.
Yeah.
Same with this, the battle wagon.
Yep.
Repurposed from the Ewok battle wagon, which was kind of tough.
Yeah.
You know, it was towards the tail end of the original Star Wars line, so a lot of people probably never even seen this before.
I hadn't at the time.
So to them, this is a new vehicle, and it's a great vehicle. It's not something you'd see in the movie, but it's still really cool.
What do you care? Yeah,
who cares? You're playing Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Robin Hood, too, is that you have the whole mythos to build on. It's not, you're not just whatever happened in the movie. So, like, get the battle wagon. Take it into your backyard and get in the grass and rocks. That's another thing. Those toys are durable. Those figures, you could chuck them across the room.
Oh, yeah. They'll hold up,
they're
man.
Fine.
Wasn't there a different head sculpt for Robin?
There was
before Kevin Costner?
Yeah, the first one was...
it was like a weird...
I don't know if it was... That's what I always heard was before Kevin Costner, but I'd never heard of anybody else being attached to that besides him. So I wonder if
it was
just like
before they got a likeness approval.
Yeah, something like that.
Something. Yeah. But it is weird to see... You know, that head sculpt.
It is weird. It's jarring when you see that. You're like, whoa, wait a second.
Because the Kevin Costner is great.
It's really good.
It's really great.
Yes.
And it really, out of the whole line, he's the only one. Him and Azim.
Yeah.
I feel like him and Azim were really close to what they look like in the movie. Maybe Little John a little bit.
Yeah, Little John was pretty good.
But Will Scarlet is not.
It's not, but Christian Slater being a young guy, I think it was probably pretty hard to capture. He doesn't have any very specific features to capture other than his hair. You know, he had this gorgeous hair at the time.
It could be a thing, too, where, like we were saying about the likeness rights, where it's like they can only do so many so fast.
Right.
And, okay, we'll get something out now as fast as we can, and then if we can have time to redo the head sculpt, we'll redo it.
Right.
Who knows? I mean, this is all stuff we're speculating on.
You know, I never had Longbow Robin.
Really? That's the best one.
As a kid, I never had. It is the best one, but for some reason, I wanted that Crossbow Robin. That was the first one I got. That's the only one I ever had.
And the Crossbow Robin is really neat, and Dustin was saying that he wanted to combine the two by doing the cape
put
on
the cloak
other one.
On the other
one. It's a great idea.
Why not?
But it was all about that Longbow Robin for me. That is such a cool-looking figure. And they did such a good job on that cloth vest thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it just
got
had
little buttons,
so little buttons
and, like, little details.
Like, different materials and colors.
Yeah.
And I think it was, like, the first line where we really saw that, like, kind of getting that kind of cloth goods that detailed on that small of a figure.
Yeah.
It was, man, what a cool figure that Longbow Robin is.
It's really cool.
Great figure. And like you said about the card back, it's carrying forward that vintage Kenner style of Star Wars, where it's the big image of the character and the carded off to the side. Just it's like they took everything that made sense in those early 80s lines and just said, let's just do that again.
Just do that and put
let's
them
just
out.
Do that again.
The art direction on all the packaging was great. I liked the Sheriff of Nottingham didn't really look like him, of course, but once again, sort of a brilliant use of... They used Lex Luthor, of course.
And
the body.
The head is from a RoboCop figure.
Yeah, the head is from a RoboCop villain, and I never knew that when I was a kid, because I never had that villain, but I was like, man, this is funny that this doesn't look like him. But when I found out, I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I was like, you know what? Why sculpt
a
brand new head?
Yeah.
You got a guy with a goatee, and he's got black hair, and he's crazy, and he's mad looking. I love that figure. As a kid, because he had that shimmery cape.
Yeah, it had like that silver detailing in the lining of it.
And these were no frills. I mean, they didn't have any obtrusive action features or anything.
No.
The only weapons that really did anything were the bows.
And you could pull the string through and...
You could...
What I find interesting is just like with the Dark Knight collection carrying forward superpowers, this did the same thing where they took out the knee joints.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, they had to do some work on those sculpts to get those knee joints back out.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of don't miss those knee joints. I like the way these look.
Yeah.
I like the detailing. Just like I love that Dark Knight Collection Batman, I like the detailing they got in the leg when they took the knee joint out.
Right.
Same deal here. But if you're going to change it, why not take off that G from the belt?
That's the funny thing.
That's really crazy to me.
Well, they covered it up in the one, and in the other one they didn't, but Crossbow Robin Hood still has it.
If you're changing the sculpt, why not take the G off?
It kind of just looks like you could
say it's a belt.
It's a belt buckle, but I think it's painted on the Crossbow Robin Hood.
I can't remember.
So
it's painted in this picture. It's painted white,
so it stands out. It's like, hey,
look, G.
Remember the G?
OG right here.
This is a Green Arrow.
Yeah. In case you forgot, this is a Green Arrow figure.
I also for Friar Tuck using the Gamorrean guard body was
genius.
Just genius, yeah.
Here's a fat guy with flip-flops on.
Right.
What do we have? We have the Gamorrean Guard. Let's do it. Throw a cloak on that.
And Will Scarlet, too, having those pants. He had those in the movie, basically the same kind of pants. And for them to, like, look back in their catalog and say, oh, we've got something like that. I mean,
put them
it's
on
just
there.
Like...
It's really a smart line.
Yeah.
I mean, this has to be a company's dream, this line, because it's like, wait a second... You're only spending how much in tooling?
Right.
How did you do that? How did you come up with all these different looks and all these different characters and not spend that much money on tooling? Really cool. And the packaging art, like on this battle wagon.
Yes, they had some painted.
Oh, it's great.
They had
It's kind of the end of this art form, man. Where
the launcher and all the
really cool painted packaging.
Yeah.
On the accessories and the playsets and things, where you had a painted environment where the vehicle's doing something really cool. This is we're seeing the end of it right here.
I wish I had known more at that time. I wish I had the history behind me at the time to know what was what, because they dug into so many different lines for this.
Because
you had Bone Age, some of the Bone Age vehicles and accessories.
I think maybe some of these are
the net launcher.
Yeah, I think that is from Bone Age.
So
if
they
I'm
got
not mistaken.
Bone
yeah,
Age,
you can see the little clip thing.
Superpowers, Star Wars, RoboCop. at least those four things all mixed in there, and there might be some
I think that pretty much covers all of them.
But it's pretty awesome. The travesty is the second wave that is unproduced.
Didn't happen. Because this Flaming Arrow Robin Hood, we're looking at a Kenner catalog right now.
We'll post a picture of it, too.
Yeah, we'll scan it, and we'll use it as our Facebook cover. I can't remember what year this is, 92? 92 shows us the figures that didn't get made, which were Battle Azim.
Which is awesome. I
really cool
figure.
Looking. He's got this white turban and this red and gold highlighted cloak, and he's got his telescope. And then we've got a Combat Robin Hood, which is basically the same as the Crossbow Robin, but now he's got a cloak on. King Richard, which is really neat. Where he had this kind of this red dress with the lions on it.
Yes.
And then we've got a Celtic Barbarian.
Really cool looking also.
Really neat looking. And then we've got the Flaming Arrow Robin Hood, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's really
He's
cool.
got a new leg sculpts here.
Yeah.
Where it's got more detailing to the boots, and he's got a nice, you know, same thing with the fabric overlay
goods.
Thing, where it's very, very detailed and very nice. And
arrows
he's got, like,
with fire on the ends of them.
Fires on the end of them. And we actually had, back when we had the... When we did more of the toy stuff, we had all four of these prototypes come through.
And we all
at one
passed
point.
On them.
And, you know, they made it through into another collection.
What I noticed about the second wave is that everything was more colorful. They found ways to make it a more colorful
mm-hmm.
palette. And so, like, Flaming Arrow Robin has brass appendages and things and red and orange. And
the gold.
Yeah, it's, just like, it's like a themed color scheme. I really wish they'd had.
I wish this had made it out too.
Yeah,
just five more figures. Just get them out there.
Just go ahead.
And then there's two more vehicles here. There's the rotary spear launcher and the wall scaler. Which the wall scaler is kind of like the latter scene in the movie where they got on the thing and it catapulted them or whatever.
Yeah, he cleared it.
So those are kind of neat. And
he cleared it.
Again, this is two reuses that they could have kind of found a way, but the line was not a huge success.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a shame that it wasn't a huge success.
Next week, we'll talk about Waterworld figures.
And then after that, the Shadow.
I love the Waterworld line. Speaking of Robin Hood, I might have mentioned this, but is anybody else mad about the DVD situation? I'm mad about it.
It's terrible, man. I still have to work on that.
They
for
put out that stupid DVD with where it cuts off in the middle of the film. It just stops.
Flip it over. Who flips the DVD?
And then you have to flip the DVD to watch the second half of the movie.
That's silly.
On top of it being silly, there's no mention of it. There's no notification like, hey, it's time to turn over your disc or anything like that. It just stops. It just cuts off. And the only other option available is the Blu-ray. But the Blu-ray is the extended version of the movie with tons of Sheriff
Needless
of Nottingham
scenes.
Being gross and weird with fisheye lens effects and all kinds of stuff that just really drags the movie down and with no original version included. So
it's silly.
Come on, whoever, I forget who has it, Universal or somebody, get on it.
Yeah.
Give it to us.
Go ahead and put out the disc the way it should be.
Go ahead and put out the disc.
We're past the point of laser discs where you have to switch it out halfway through a film.
We're not playing.
You can just put it on one disc. Let's not be silly.
You have room.
Man, that Bryan Adams song, that's the best.
Oh, that Bryan Adams song took up all the room on that other.
Man, that's awesome.
On the second part of the disc, they couldn't fit it.
You can't get enough of that when you put it to different trailers and stuff.
I'll tell you what.
It's the best.
I'll tell you what you guys need to do. Maybe
we've said this before.
Maybe we'll do it.
Maybe we'll do it.
You could make a
I could put
the
it together
on the trailer.
Let's not say anything.
All right,
we'll put it together and then it'll be a surprise in a later episode. So I have time to put it together.
Totally works.
All right. So that was a great suggestion, Dustin. We too love this line, and we're glad that you said that you wanted us to talk about the line. Should we say I sent that out? Should we say on the show?
Let it be a surprise.
We'll make a surprise.
You got a surprise coming.
You got a surprise
to you,
coming.
I'm going to buy a Crossbow Robin, I think.
I'm glad you're going to do it.
I think I'm going to look him up and I'm going to buy it.
I want you to.
Online, on the internet.
I want you to do it.
I had that figure.
If it's $15 or something, it's down at the antique mall.
It's,
if you can get it for if it's
it'll
not
be, it'll be less.
If it's okay, make sure
I'm
it's
sure.
less than $15.
Okay.
Otherwise, you just go down the street and buy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is another one of those lines where we kick ourselves because we could have had them all.
I did have them all. I had a card
and
set. And
you sold them.
At one
That's
point.
Even more of a kick yourself. That's the worst, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All these things that we could have had the Sherwood Forest, the Battle Wagon, all those things. We used to have all that stuff.
What a dummy.
And we just were like, we'll always see this stuff. Don't need this stuff anymore. Who needs this stuff? We got lots of good stuff.
I could have had it.
All right, so I guess that's about it, right?
That's it.
So we're going to wrap this one up. Thanks, Dustin, for the suggestion. If you guys have any toy lines or anything else you want us to talk about, post on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/actionfeatures.org. And we'll try our best to talk about what you want us to talk about.
All right.
All right, so we're signing off on this one, and we'll see you guys next time.